Orbiter X. Episode 1, The First Step to the Stars. The early Sputnik era has passed into history, and science rushes on towards the infinite. Man himself is making his first ventures into space. His road to the stars lies by way of a manned space station, an artificial satellite yet to be completed. Its component pieces have been rocketed into orbit. Now they float in cluster, awaiting assembly by the space pioneers who must work 1,000 miles above the surface of the Earth. At Woomera, headquarters of the Commonwealth Space Project, the first assembly crew prepare for takeoff. Their ship, Orbiter 1, commanded by Captain Jack Bradley, stands poised on the launching platform. In HQ Central Control, the Commandant, Colonel Benham Kent, is giving final clearance instructions. At his elbow, Captain Bob Britton calls the countdown of the last vital moments to takeoff.
60 seconds to zero.
Sound the final warning on the launching platform.
Yes, sir.
Control calling Orbiter 1. Check your stabilizers.
Orbiter 1 answering you, Control. Stabilizers correct. Gyros spinning. 2,000 revs. Steady.
Open the launching ramp. Hello, Orbiter 1. Check your fuel taps and stage 1 compression.
Taps open. 4/5 compression. Rising.
0-30.
All clear on the platform?
All clear, sir.
Hello, Control. Stage 1 compression. 9/10 maximum.
Excellent. The combustion chambers are opening.
She's blowing fire.
Check thrust level for takeoff.
All jets firing and balanced, sir.
Good. Hello, Orbiter 1. Stand by for normal takeoff. No deviation from predicted course. All's well. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Control.
0-10. 9, 8, 7.
She's lifting.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Orbiter away!
Tracker report, please.
Yes, sir. The ship's line of flight and rate of ascent are still as predicted. Bearing now XQ5 TK-74.
Well done. Captain Britton.
Sir.
Ah, Bob, you must have been rather disappointed that you didn't take the first assembly crew.
Yes, I was, Colonel Kent. Still, that's just the luck of the draw.
Never mind. Your turn tomorrow.
That's right. I can hardly wait for it now.
I gather your co-pilot, Captain McClelland, is keen to get on with the job as well.
Oh, my word. It's the moment we've both been waiting for ever since we got our transfer from the RAF.
And your flight engineer, the ex-submariner?
Chief Petty Officer Hicks. He's a good chap. Determined to keep us all ship-shape and Bristol fashion.
Yeah. Orbiter 1 coming through on RT, sir.
Good.
Hello, Control. Orbiter 1 calling CSB Control. Are you receiving me? Repeat, are you receiving?
Hello, Orbiter 1. Orbiter 1, this is CSP, Woomera Control answering you. Your signal has faded. There is strong interference. Keep sending.
Can you hear me, CSP?
Yes, but your signal is very weak. Keep sending.
Hello, hello. Orbiter 1, calling Control.
He's obviously not getting us at all. Control Officer Brown, try calling him on WT and warn the ground tracking stations that he's entered a zone of electrical disturbance at altitude 950 plus.
Okay, sir.
Central monitor reporting interference and distortion on the main tracking screen, sir.
First we lose sound and then the vision. Look at the picture, Bob. Have you ever seen a pattern of interference like that before?
No, I can't say I have.
I'll see if I can raise it myself. Turn the RT right up. The interference limiter isn't helping very much.
No, it's most unusual.
All tracking stations confirm loss of image, sir.
Too bad.
Calling CSP.
Quiet, quiet. Listen, everybody.
Can you hear me? Calling CSP.
That's Bradley.
Hello, Orbiter 1. Brad, this is Woomera Control answering you. We are receiving, but your signals are very weak and intermittent.
Seem to be cut off, but I'll keep talking and hope you are receiving. The starboard jets are completely smashed, and we are orbiting...
Starboard jet smashed?
Yes. I'm afraid this is going to be difficult, and the interference doesn't help.
Direction finders have got his position. It's coming through the computer now, sir.
Good. Project it straight onto the astral wall chart.
Yes, sir.
We should see the ship's position indicated by a point of light.
There it is.
Yes. It puts him at an altitude of 1,000 miles, almost directly above Starbuck Island in the mid-Pacific. He's now in free orbit, just like a Sputnik, so the next radio fix will help us to work out his speed and course. Thank you, projection.
It's possible, sir. He could be somewhere over us here again within about 2 hours. If I took off with my ship, I might be able to intercept him.
That's an idea, Bob. Yes, and it might work. But you'd have no guidance from the ground tracking stations, not unless the interference clears.
Yes, but perhaps I could climb over it and pick him up on the ship's radar.
It's an outside chance, but... Yes, I think it's worth trying. We'll line up your ship for emergency takeoff.
Thank you, sir.
In case you're needed.
Yes, of course. I'll warn McClelland and Hickey to stand by.
Yes, sort them out and bring them here as soon as you can.
Very good, sir. I'll be right back.
There seems to be quite a panic going on in the control room, Bob.
Yes, Mac. I think we're in business. Yeah, well, we'll soon know. Come on in. And you, Hickey.
Right, sir.
Over here, all of you.
Right, sir.
McClelland, Hicks, morning.
Sir.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news, Bob.
Oh, what's that, sir?
We just had another message from Bradley. You'll better hear the recording. I've got it on tape. Now, listen carefully. There's still a lot of mush.
Mush is bad, isn't it?
Quiet.
Carry on talking. Hope for the best. We can't locate that second fracture in the hull. The bulkheads are closed, but we're still losing pressure. Everything happens at once. We had no warning. Sorry about poor Carter. Didn't have a chance. Better not tell his wife.
And that was all. Bad luck about Carter.
What can have happened to him?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Oh, poor fellow.
Did all your courses with him, didn't you, Hickey?
Yes, I did.
He had 2 children?
Yes, the same as me. About the same age.
Well, we still don't know what has happened, and the minister has agreed not to release any information at this stage. It might lead to a big scare about attacks by UFOs. And you know the public reaction to anything to do with unidentified flying objects.
Yes, particularly in view of all the reports about them since we launched the space station components for Orbiter X.
Exactly.
When do we take off, sir?
The computer is working everything out now. All the information will be fed into your automatic pilot. We can put you reasonably close to Bradley's ship, but the final operation will be up to you. Your job is to save the survivors, but don't take unnecessary risks. We don't want to lose you.
We'll watch our steps, sir.
Any questions? It's a tough assignment. You'll be out on your own when you hit the interference belt. If any of you wish to stand down, it isn't too late.
We'd like to carry on, sir.
All right. You can get down to the launching platform and board your machine. You've only to check procedure on the first stage of your trip, but keep a grip on yourselves. You know the psychological dangers of weightlessness.
Yes, we know, sir.
And you've still got a lot to learn. Off with you, then, and all the very best.
Check your safety straps.
Okay, tight up, Bob.
Mine too, sir.
Just relax into your contour seats and breathe deeply. Control are doing all the work for us. It's exactly the same as our practice runs. Same routine.
0, -30.
9/10 pressure in the combustion chambers. Temperature 1200.
Fine. Hello, control. Compression 9/10 maximum.
All jets firing.
Hello, Orbiter 2. Stand by for normal takeoff. No deviation from predicted course. Good luck from all of us.
Thanks. Good luck, chaps. Here we go. We're lifting.
Next stop, Piccadilly.
Piccadilly.
CSP calling you. CSP calling, report state of crew.
Orbiter 2 answering you, Control. Britain speaking. My reactions seem to be normal. Checking with crew. Stand by. Mac, you all right?
Yes, I'm okay, Bob. But the acceleration did shake me a bit. The old body felt like lead, and I thought my face was being wrapped around the back of my neck.
How are your eyes?
Well, vision's still a bit blurred, but it's clearing.
No internal pains?
No, fine.
Good man. Hickey, how are you feeling?
Oh, all present and correct, sir.
Well done.
How about you, Bob?
I'm okay. Hello, CSP. You may have heard that.
Yes, Bob, we heard. Congratulations to all of you. A first-class launching. Your line of flight, speed, and jet temperatures are exactly as planned. The ground tracking stations are giving us a clear picture of you, and the radio reception is perfect.
Good. We're getting a wonderful picture of the Earth from Japan, way down the China coast to New Guinea and Australia. But have you any news of Orbiter 1, Control?
No. She's still in the interference zone, I'm afraid. Check your altitude, please. We make it 310 miles.
310 it is.
Prepare for the next boost. This one shouldn't worry you.
We can take it. What do you make of the altitude indicator? You must be over the 1,000-mile mark by now.
The needle's swinging between 1,100 and 1,250.
I'll check it over, sir.
Yes, do that, Hickey. Oh, and by the way, you can drop the sir business. We can forget rank while we're in space.
Aye, aye, sir. Bob, I'll try.
Is the weightlessness worrying either of you?
No, I had the usual symptoms of unreality after the acceleration stopped, but I'm settling down now.
Same with me.
Good. Just keep your minds on the job.
Right. Well, according to the computer, Bradley should be closing with us on bearing XT7, QY65.
Concentrate on that, and I'll look at the radar screen, too.
It's a beautiful blank at the moment.
Mm. Hold on.
What?
Look, there's a patch of interference developing top right-hand corner.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
It looks like the fringe of the trouble zone.
It is, too.
Better call control. Hello, CSP. Hello. Hello. This is Orbiter 2 calling you. Are you receiving me?
Control answering you, Orbiter 2. Yes, we are receiving, but your signal is very weak.
We are heading into the trouble zone. Altitude indicator, scanners, and intercom are all affected. We are holding to the prearranged course.
Message understood. We shall keep listening.
Here, both of you, quickly. Look at this mark on the screen.
Wow, what is it? Wow.
You can just see it between the ribbons.
Yes.
It must be solid. Mm. What's the bearing, Mac?
XT7QY65. It's Orbiter 1!
You're right!
Slap on the predicted course!
Good for the ground, boys. Call them up, Mac. And Hickey, give me a burst on the jets at 1/10 compression.
Right, Bob. Here it comes.
Orbiter 2 calling control. Hello, CSP. Are you receiving me?
We're very slightly off course. Give me a 1/10 burst, port jets only, Chief. Trim up.
Enough?
Yes, fine. We're right in the right groove now.
Ah, good.
Hello, CSP, this is Orbiter 2. Come in, please. Nothing doing, Bob. We're out on our own by the sound of it.
Oh, never mind. We're closing with the other ship. Well, this is where the fun starts. But if we shoot past her, we won't get another chance. We shall have to turn ourselves over head to tail so that we can use the jets as brakes. Better stand by the inverters.
Standing by.
Check the range.
Range, 375 miles.
That's closer than I thought. Switch on inverters.
Now over we go. Base over apex. Talk of the gyros is taking us nicely.
I'll tell you to level off the moment our tail jets are pointing towards the other ship. Steady. Level off. Now. Right. We're heading straight towards her tail first.
And it's all done by mirror.
Stop talking. Adjust the scanners. Hickey.
Sir.
I'm going to brake pretty hard. Fasten your belt. You too, Mac. Ready with the taps?
Uh-huh. Ready, sir.
Open jet set. 9/10 maximum. And again.
Bob, you don't have to worry about the radar anymore. Our targets come up on the telescreen.
George, Orbiter 1 in vision. We may be creeping ahead of him very slightly, but I won't upset the balance now.
I say, look at that other ship's tail. The starboard quarter's practically flat.
Gosh, it is, yes.
Yes. Yes, I'm going to call control. We can't hear them, but they may be able to hear us. This is Orbiter 2 calling CSP control. Orbiter 2 calling CSP control. We are alongside our sister ship. Her starboard quarter shows that she has been involved in collision. There are no signs that Bradley and Wilson have spotted us yet. I am preparing to go aboard. I shall take Flight Engineer Hicks with me and leave Captain McClelland in charge at this end. Keep listening.
They'll be listening, but I doubt whether they get any of that. There's no acknowledgement.
It doesn't look as if Brad picked it up either. Otherwise he'd have made some sort of signal, wouldn't he?
Yes, well, we're certainly close enough to see him.
You'd better adjust your spacesuit, Hickey. The sooner we get over there, the better. Open the airlock, Mac.
Right, Bob.
Good. Just plug my telephone cable into Hickey's helmet. We won't be able to talk on the radio intercom because of the interference.
Okay, you're plugged in. Close your helmets.
Fine. Into the airlock, Chief. Close the inner hatch. Open the valve. Let the air out.
I've done this underwater many a time.
Yes, you had the sea pouring into your escape lock then. Now it's a case of literally nothing coming in. Pressure gauge is dropping down to zero. There it goes.
Yes, I'm watching it.
Check your suit.
Right, all correct.
Lock empty. Oh, we're standing in vacuum, chum. You all right?
Yes.
Good. Right, I'm opening the outer hatch. Don't move yet. Now, switch off the magnets in your boots. Tie the end of your short line to the ring in my belt. My lifeline is attached to the ship. It'll do for both of us.
Okay.
I should probably be able to steer us both over to Orbiter 1 with my jet pistol.
Right.
If you do have to use yours, Hickey, make sure you don't aim it towards me.
Understood, Bob.
Right. I'm holding on to your belt. Just move to the edge of the hatch. That's right. You can't fall.
It's at a moment like this you begin to wonder.
Keep your attention on the other ship. All right. I'm firing the pistol.
We're away.
Yes. Remember not to bicycle pedal with your feet. There's nothing underneath them. How do you feel, Chief?
Oh, slightly sick, sir.
Yes, so do I. Halfway across to Orbiter 1.
I suppose we shall get used to this sort of lark.
Yes. We shall when we start assembling the space station. This is the way we'll be working.
Oh, my gosh, just look at those stars.
What's your target? We're going to land just by the escape hatch.
Right.
Here comes. A crab. Hold on.
I've got it. Got it.
Good man. Switch on your boot magnets again. This is style.
We're aboard Orbiter 1. I can't believe it.
It's true enough. Open the air valve, buddy. Just pull back the lever.
That doesn't seem to move.
And heave.
I think it's shifted.
Yes. Hatch light should flash when all the air's out of the lock.
It's started flashing already.
Must be a fault. I'll try opening the hatch.
It's quick work. Well, in we go.
Well, they must have heard us by now.
Yes. This will be a shock for them. I turn on the air.
Be interesting to know exactly what's happened.
It certainly will. Hello? Something's gone wrong with the air pressure. It's only risen to about 8 pounds a square inch.
That's all we're going to get.
We must keep our helmets closed. Open the inner hatch. Let's see how Brad and the boys are.
Oh. Well, what goes on here?
Cabin's empty. It's absolutely empty.
Where is everybody?
Look. Somebody lying down there by the wreckage of the starboard engines.
It's Carter.
Poor devil. Yes. At least it must have been quick. He was obviously here when the collision happened.
No sign of anyone else.
No, not a trace.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
Neither do I.
It's the mystery of the Mare Celeste all over again.
So it seems.
But two sane men don't just step out into space.
No. They weren't the types to lose their heads.
So what's the answer?
Oh, wait, let me think. Hickey, you had difficulty with the air valve, the outer hatch.
Yes, it didn't seem to move much.
The reason being that it was already open. That's why the light flashed almost as soon as you touched it.
Of course, yes. The airlock had been used by people leaving the ship.
Exactly. I'd stopped to think. I would have realized that at the time. Brad and Wilson bailed out. But why?
Yes. Why?
Something must have driven them to it.
What's that?
It's only the safety valve on the port two compression chamber.
Oh. Getting a bit jumpy. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize to you. It's enough to give anyone the shakes. We'll get back to the cabin. Yeah? I'd like to have a look at the ship's log.
Okay, I'll get it for you.
You'll find it in the clip beside the intercom. Same place where we keep ours.
No, it's not here.
Oh, it's probably slipped out. It's attached to a cord.
The cord's here, but the logbook's been torn away.
Torn away?
Yeah.
I see.
So is another mystery.
Yes. There's something written in that log which we were not intended to read.
Captain Bradley wouldn't want to hide anything.
No. Neither would Wilson.
Well, then who could have... I've got a crazy idea. I don't like it.
I know what you're thinking. I got the same idea. Chief, we better get back to our own ship.
Right.
We don't want to follow in Brad and Wilson's footsteps. Let's move.
Okay.
Jupiter, I'm glad to see you too. Are the others all right, Bob?
No, Carter's dead. We were prepared for that, but Brad and Wilson have gone.
Gone?
Yes, they've disappeared. Apart from Carter, Orbiter One is deserted.
But, oh, it's impossible.
It's true, Mac. Have you had any contact with CSP Control?
No, the interference is worse than ever.
We must get underway.
You're not going to leave Carter.
We shall for the moment. Chief, close the inner hatch of the airlock and stand by the engines.
Aye, aye, sir.
Start the compressors.
Hats open.
But why the panic, Bob?
I'll tell you later. Watch your scanner. Keep an all-round radar sweep and sing out if you see anything unusual.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to see through the interference pattern.
Just concentrate. Hickey, what's the hold-up on the engine?
Waiting for the temperature to build up. I can't open the jets yet.
Well, use the boosters. I know we'll be short on fuel, but we'll risk running dry.
Right.
Bob, there's something odd on the radar screen. It's not very clear, but it's solid enough and it's dead astern. Look.
So I was right. Open the jets. We must move.
Oh,
Dickie, get into the observation dome. Tell me if you can see anything following us.
Right, Bob. The spot on the screen's getting bigger. What is it?
I wish I knew. Whatever it is, it's closing with us. I don't think we're going to get away.
Can't see anything astern. Our tail's pointing straight into the sun.
All right, come down. I'm going to start turning. Hold tight!
Thing's still with us. It's coming in!
Hold about, kids. Break out emergency oxygen. Anybody hurt?
No, nothing serious.
Just shaken. What happened?
We've either been rammed or we've been shot up.
The same as Orbiter One.
Yes.
So that spot on the radar screen was...
Yes, an unidentified flying object. Try to get Woomera control, mate.
Right. Orbiter 2 calling CSP. Orbiter 2 calling CSP control. Are you receiving me? Not a hope of getting through on that ball.
Keep trying, Mac.
What's going on?
Something outside. Quickly, into the observation dome.
Can't see anything from here.
Must be under us.
But what?
Listen.
Somebody's moving on the outer hull.
Get back to the cabin. And stand by for boarders.
So ends the first episode of Orbiter X, an adventure in the conquest of space by B.D. Chapman. It was produced for the BBC by Charles Maxwell.